I think before we close our eyes, like Kevin did last week, without standing up, let's just do a little body movement because the meditation will be a little intense and challenging maybe. So on the in-breath, just kind of lift your shoulders up towards your ears a little bit. And as you out-breath, just kind of roll them back down. We'll do that about three more times. Inhale, just lift up and just soften, release downward on the out-breath. Two more like that, inhale. And exhale. Just one more. Inhale. And exhale. Bring the hands together. Just rub the fingertips and palms. Get a little juice going. And just cup the palms over your heart. And you can close the eyes now if you like. And just feel the miracle of that beating heart. The miracle of the breath, signifying that we are alive today, that's a good thing. And as you do that, just tune in and become aware of any part of you, perhaps from the past, that felt powerless or helpless. You can keep the hands here or relax them down anytime. And just have compassion for that part of you that may have felt at one time or another, or maybe now, helpless, powerless, maybe even blamed it at the world. Maybe hold that inner child for a moment. And continue to just breathe into the heart, breath of compassion. And notice how it feels, that part that sometimes feels powerless. Again, maybe to the point of blaming or playing a victim. Just notice what that energy feels like. When we go into that space, that state. Noticing maybe a thin line between a healthy surrender and an unhealthy kind of giving up, hopelessness. And start to breathe into any sense of smallness or contractions now. And feel the physical body, the energy body, start to expand a little bit and soften and brighten. And just start to feel the power that always lives in our heart. The truth of who you are. The part that feels so blessed. And feel the energy shift as you do this. Not pushing anything away, accepting all the other parts, but starting to accept everything, to be the true you, healthy power, the part that moves from blame to bless. Maybe even sense the humor in this God-embodied, convincing itself or being programmed that we are powerless or someone else is creating our reality. And continue to breathe into the contractions, breathe into that inner child that felt shut down. Start to take back the healthy aspects of that child. The curiosity, the joy, the true power of just simply being ourselves, huh? even if you've been victimized in a human sense, starting to take back the power within that, the courage to maybe choose to experience that. Let's take about another minute to breathe deeply into any of the shadows and the woundings, any of the contractions. Grounding deep into Mother Earth. Straight through to Father Sky, however you define that spirit world. And we'll finish with three ohms. We'll do kind of a quiet ohm, a little louder, and then a full ohm as we come alive and expand. So start with a quieter one. Take a nice deep in-breath. Beautiful. One more. sounded beautiful. That sounded like a good soundtrack for a movie. You know? I was going off. Good morning. I was just thinking, I think it would be very nice if Cindy gave the talk one of these Sundays. Wouldn't that be nice? Sorry. It's great having her give her little snippets of wisdom, though, every week. That's beautiful, too. I was just thinking of last time I spoke here, I was kidding with Chuck back there, and I said, I don't feel like talking today. Can you give the lesson? And he goes, no. I said, no, just go up there and speak your truth. He said, I just did. So my topic today is a tough one for me. It's called From Blaming to Blessing. So I loved our opening song, Perfect Again. I am so blessed. So moving from blaming to blessing, confessions of a real life victim. So let me be clear about what I mean by that. With conscious language, I am not a victim, but I've played the part of a victim very well most of my life. And a lot of sense of powerlessness and blame and stuff. So this is definitely, sometimes my ego thinks I must know something if I'm speaking here. But today, even my ego is not fooled. This is not something I'm really great at because I can whine and play a victim pretty good. So this is definitely a case where I'm hoping I teach myself something today. I wrote down some other names possible names for today's topic. From victim to volunteer, you may have heard that one. From whining to warrior. From grumbling to gratitude. Resistance to acceptance. And barking to wagging. Our dog taught us that one. So a question, I'm just wondering if I'm alone here. How many of you have sometimes felt powerless or complained, blamed, played the victim? Anybody else here besides me? Just raise your hand. Oh, I'm not alone. If you didn't raise your hand, you're either a master or a liar. So how about, how does it feel when you whine or play a victim or powerless? How does it feel energetically? Anybody got a word for it? What is it? Okay. What is it? Draining. Okay. What is it? Can it feel good in any way, a certain distorted way, maybe? You know, they say sometimes a couple minutes of whining can be helpful. I don't know about that. But maybe often we do things that are pretty distorted and unhelpful in the long run. But there's usually, as Dr. Phil would say, right, there's some kind of there's some kind of payoff, right? Can you think of any payoffs for playing a victim that might be helpful to the egoic self, maybe? Remembering yourself? Yeah, it might remind you of yourself. It might, by feeling your smallness, right? I think also it might free us from taking responsibility. If you really believe I'm powerless, right? You don't have to go that extra step of taking responsibility for yourself. I think this is not a real benefit, but this feeds the pain body too, as Eckhart Tolle would say, right? The pain body feeds on negativity, so it's not a good thing, but that's going on. I think the main one that comes to mind, though, is, as far as payoffs, might be that we get some pity, don't we? A distorted kind of energy, right? If you're low energy, that's some kind of energy that people say, oh, remember Juan Enrique Toro when he used to speak here? Torres. He said, when you say, you poor thing, it's metaphysical malpractice. Remember that? Some of you might remember that. It's codependence in a way. It's not helpful, is it? You know, you poor thing. In other words, we've fallen into believing that. It's just a tricky thing, right? In a human sense, we've all been hurt, the perception of being victimized, right? But some of us might feel that we create or co-create all of it, every bit of it, to have the whole human experience. Do we not? Maybe. Everybody's like, no. Let me see where I want to go with this here. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple examples of... I'm going to prove to you that I'm a victim. No, I'm going to show you a couple examples we might call karma, how karma might play in here. But in this case, C-A-R-M-A, karma, I'll give you a couple examples. I had One time, since I moved to Everett, one time I came out of my house and my car was gone. It was stolen. Another time I came out and all four wheels were gone. My car was sitting on the ground. And, oh. Another time I tried to start it and the battery was gone. Somebody stole the battery. And three times my CD player was stolen. So in a human sense, we say, oh, you poor thing, right? But as I think back with a little more spiritual hindsight, I remember when I was a young, unconscious person, hopefully a little, definitely older, hopefully more conscious. But I remember hitting this car when I was drinking and just took off, dented up the car. We used to steal hood ornaments from cars all the time. And we used to, let's see, what happened? Oh, I sold a couple cars that were totally, clearly lemons and lied. So am I a victim? Or is there something being evened out, played out here, right? Who knows? So Cindy said something last week about patience. Impatience is one of my shadows or challenges this lifetime. So Cindy said something last week, I don't want to misquote you, but something about if you ask for more patience, God doesn't pull a pickup truck in front of your house and dump a load of patience off, right? You get tested with people that'll test your patience. So with my victim stuff, I started to realize this doesn't work long term, so I've been trying to heal that. So things happened. So for example, when my car got stolen, this police officer came over to my house, a woman police officer, and she said, are you the victim? I said, no. She goes, was it your car that was stolen? I said, yeah. She goes, you're the victim. No, I'm not a victim. So it was hysterical. We went back and forth. You're the victim. I'm not a victim. About 13, 14 years ago, I was driving down I-5, and I really wanted to get this lesson that I'm not a victim. So, of course, I create being victimized in a human apparent sense, right? The perception. So a semi-truck hit my little Honda, pushed me down I-5, and it dragged me backwards down I-5, threw me across four lanes, 360, and it's raining out, almost killed me. And then he pulls over on this side of the road. I'm on this side of I-5. He leaves the scene. Later, I found him. He denied it. So it was a perfect victim setup, right? I get my attorney. I'm like, I'm so victimized this time. But I'm also seeing, oh, my gosh, you know, because we have a litigious culture, right? We have ways where we don't approach personal responsibility in the healthiest of ways, right? It's a big, fat quagmire when we get into these accidents, you know, supposed accidents with automobiles and stuff, right? Huge challenge within it all, right? If we can stay, bring some consciousness. So I'm half seeing it, the consciousness, and half falling into it. Even my attorney, like a Yoda, says one time, it's counterintuitive to heal until you settle the case. Because we're arguing that we're a victim. You hit me, I'm hurting. And my body, too, is hurting. But pretty soon, God, I think the knee's hurting, too, you know. I think, you know, it starts going through the whole body. My attorney has seen it all. It was funny watching him watch me fall into the victim role. And again, we almost have to play the game almost. I'm hurt. Yeah, you're wrong. I'm right. The ego loves that. So anyway, it was very interesting. I didn't quite get it again. So of course, I kept creating more situations. So another one, I went to see, you know, Byron Katie. She does The Work. Is that what it's called? Is that what it's called? The book is Loving What Is. Is that right? Yeah. She's pretty direct. So I went to her talk, and they have these little cards. Anybody seen Byron Katie? No? Okay. She has these little cards on everybody's seat, and you fill it out being as petty and childish as you can, blaming somebody. And I was trying to get over my childhood, so I wrote, my mother needs to change and apologize if I'm going to be healthy and happy. So she goes, okay. She starts off her talk. I need a volunteer. So I go right away. I want to get this right out in the open here. So here we are, 200 people. She goes, so read your little thing there. So I read, well, my mother needs to change and apologize if I'm going to be happy and healthy or whatever. And I swear I triggered her. She goes, so your mother needs to change before you're happy. And I was like, I wanted to get down real low and crawl out of there. So it was not real healing. Pretty soon, I thought she was victimizing me, so I sent her an email later. I said, that wasn't fair, and she wrote back. So I was like, I'm creating more victimization as I go. You know. Let's see. Okay, here's a quote I have. So, here's a quote from James Richardson. I don't know who that is. the quote sounds good, though. The best way to know your faults is to notice which ones you accuse others of. Don't we know that? And then I, with horror, I realized when I was going through my dark night of the soul and dealing with my mom stuff, everything I saw that she was, and she was, you know, a hurt person. She was quite wounded. All the things I saw that she was, guess who was as well? Every one of those traits, fear, you can go down the whole line. So that day was a sad day. I was like, oh my God, I can't blame her. I'm that. My teacher at the time said, if you grew up in a dysfunctional family, you were part of the dysfunction. Oh man. See, the ego hates this, but the spirit goes, how beautiful. What a beautiful orchestra, right? Right? In my opinion. So let's see. Here's a quote. I want to see if you guys agree or not. This is a channeled quote from the Pleiadians. Woo. I'm going to get woo-woo. But just see if it resonates to you. You are creating and generating 100% of your reality 100% of the time. Not just some, capital letters, sometimes, at all times, capital letters, at all levels. Does that feel true to anybody? Are we creating or co-creating our entire reality on some level? Or can we blame somebody? So the problem with blaming, I wrote a couple problems. One is it's usually aligned with ego and self-righteousness, and guess where that can go? It's a thin, a small jump from there to abusing, right? We've seen it on big levels and personal levels. If we are convinced that they're at fault, they're wrong, we can create enemies. Somebody's talking about building a wall, I think, last I heard. You know, we can start abusing, and it's a mess, right? That's a problem with blaming. Another is it just stops the healing. It focuses outside ourselves on others, right? How well does that work? There's nobody home here, right? It also blocks the problem solving, right? If you're focused on the problem or someone else, right? So, of course, we're seeing it politically, right? The right blaming the left blaming the right, and how many solutions come out of that? Not too many. Here's Richard Rudd, beautiful, amazing person. I think I quoted him last time, The Gene Keys. Anybody reading The Gene Keys? Powerful stuff. You got to start a group here. It's transformational. He says, we blame others for our condition because we are unable or unwilling to take full responsibility for it. In most cases, we are not even aware of our emotional shadow patterns, but have simply become accustomed to indulging in them, right? And again, we have to bring the compassion back in because it's not bad, right? It's just a pattern. It's what we are taught. Most of us learn this, right? Out of that sense of powerlessness and shame. If you've been shamed a lot, you can't take any more. You're feeling so low about yourself. I can feel this acutely. So many times I've shamed back or blamed others because I just couldn't take any more. It couldn't be my fault again. Does that make sense? So we project it out. Yeah? I'm going to read you a little story here. Just a little bit more here, but I want to read a story. Jack Kornfield's book, A Wise Heart. Beautiful book. Might need some glasses here. So this is about a young Army officer who had anger and impatience and maybe projecting. In case anybody else has impatience with somebody driving weird in front of you or slow, or maybe this will resonate. So he took a mindfulness course to see if he could deal with this. So it says, one day after attending the mindfulness class for some weeks, he stopped for groceries on his way home. Ooh, this one always hits my heart. He was in a, I think I can just relate to it, you know. He was in a hurry and a bit irritated as usual. Anybody else? When he took his cart to check out, there were long lines. He noticed the woman in front of him had only one item, but wasn't in the express line. Ooh. She was carrying a baby and talking to the cashier. He became irritated. She was in the wrong line, talking, holding everyone up. Then she passed the baby to the cashier, and the cashier spent a moment cooing over the child. He could feel his habitual anger rising. But because he'd been practicing mindfulness, he started to become aware of the heat and tightness in his body. He could feel the pain. He breathed and relaxed. When he looked up again, he saw the little boy smiling. As he reached the cashier, he said, "That was a cute little boy. Oh, did you like him?" She responded, "That's my baby. His father was in the Air Force, but he was killed last winter. Now I have to work full time. So my mom tries to bring my boy in once or twice a week so I can see him." Whew. Wow. So when we're in that space, we don't see very clearly, do we? Right? We can't see the pain others are. We don't know they're suffering, right? That's one of the problems with pain. Oh, boy. let's see, a couple more things. A couple quotes and one more little, my own example. Here's my own quote from my own book. Who says it better than me? When you stop seeing yourself as a helpless, powerless victim of a cruel and senseless world, then you can reclaim the power you used in it creating the world and use that same power to create anew, right? So here's a couple solutions. I always like to offer solutions for this blame game. One is to grieve, right? I have five suggestions. One is to grieve, right? Because on a human level, we're hurt sometimes. We get really hurt. You know, whether it's a simple material thing as a stolen car or something worse, more painful, right? So to grieve, be human about it. Not just, oh, I'm spiritual. I see that spiritual bypass a lot. Two is radical responsibility. Oh, I create my world. Maybe I create all this. Three is just start to notice, aware of how it feels when we go into that victim mode. Four is compassion, right? This comes from somewhere. It comes from somewhere. For that little child that felt ashamed and couldn't take on anymore. And lastly, of course, gratitude, right? I am so blessed. That's just like the antidote for so many of these pain body things, right? Or maybe somebody says it less wordy than me. Jesus, take the log out of your own eye before taking the splinter out of the other eye. The other's eye. Okay? So one more little story. Again, Spirit keeps creating wonderful opportunities for all of us and for me to face our victim. I was down at 164th getting our water. We get our spring water down at 164th near Linwood. And always some fascinating things happen there if you watch and feel the energy and, you know, just like anywhere when you're ready to grow and learn. So anyway, one day I hear this woman really loud on her cell phone in the other part of the parking lot. Not a very soothing voice. She was really upset about something. She comes closer and gets in line for water. And she is belting out more cussing than I've heard in years. And I used to bartend. So she's like just upset at this person, that person. And at first I felt like a victim. I'm here just to get some water and I'm listening to this woman. From blaming to blessing. So I started feeling and I was like, why would she be here? Oh, she's helping me see myself. What do? I play a victim often, right? But she was really upset. She kept saying this. On my birthday, on top of it, my boyfriend beat me up and did this and that, and she was really hurting, right? She was cussing like you couldn't believe, really loud. And part of me, at first I was like, I'm going to go tell her to shut up. I was like, nope. Let me just see. Oh, she's lighting up my victim's house. So then I felt thanks and gratitude. Okay, I'm getting to see myself. And then I went further. I saw that she must be hurting. Anytime you're stuck in a big victim role, you're suffering, right? There's no way out. You're not taking responsibility. You're blaming the world. As Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? So I went into empathy. I went from blaming to blessing. You know, I was blessing her. I said, oh, she's really suffering. There's only one part I missed. I wished I went up and, later I thought of this, I wish I went up and, she said like 8 times, on my birthday, she wanted to be acknowledged, she wanted to be loved. And I wish I went up and just said, I'm sorry your birthday wasn't so pleasant, happy birthday. That would have been taking it even more blessing, right? So I think that's all I got. If you didn't enjoy the talk today, don't blame me, bless me.
Thank you.